MZTV.
Martin Zender putting on the conference beard here. Don't know why. I seem to want to do this every conference. So it goes. That's right. Conference is Friday. Like, I'm going to see you on Friday. Isn't that crazy? Wow, that's really kind of neat. I'm looking forward to it. And Friday's the meet and greet. There won't be any official talks. It'll be time for us to meet and greet, thus the name. We'll be able to say hello to one another, to greet old friends, meet new friends. I have a little change of venue. It's still going to be at the Kansas City Airport Marriott, same place as the conference. The conference now on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock starting will be in Salon AB, also known as the ballroom, on the second floor. That's Salon AB. I've never been to this hotel, so I'm going to be hunting it down just like you. But, see, the meet and greet was going to be there, but not anymore. The meet and greet will now be at the Independence Liberty Westport room on the first floor. Apparently, there was a big fight as to what to name this room. There was a faction that wanted to call it the Independence Room. Another faction said, no, we want to call it the Liberty Room. Yet a third faction arose saying, no, let's call it the Westport Room. Well, a truce was had. They smoked a peace pipe. And they called it the Independence Liberty Westport Room. It's on the first floor at the Kansas City Airport Marriott. I will see you there on Friday. This Friday. The meet and greet starts at, I think, 5. See, but my flight's not getting until 4. Sender need a nap. So I'm going to have to lay down a little bit. I might be there between 5:30 and 6. I'll try to get there as soon as I can. I will be fashionably late. So it's not too late to go to the conference. If you didn't get your reservations in on time, don't despair. Just drive to Kansas City. It's centrally located. Spur of the moment. Those are the best trips anyway. When you think, I'm not going to this conference, and suddenly the week before you get this surge of purpose, you get this desire, and this whole time my fan has been on. Hang on a second, I'm a fan running over here. I got to turn this thing off. I thought I was hearing some ambient noise here. Hang on. Oh, yeah, that's much better. That is much better, folks, I think. What do you think? So, yeah, you get this bug, and you think, I'm going to go to that conference. And it becomes a radical thing. It's not organized. It's not planned. It's like, yes, I got this crazy idea. Even the day of, Friday morning, let's say you live 15 hours from Kansas City. Hey, man. This is the stuff memories are made of. That's when you leave at 5 in the morning and you get there. Okay, let's say you live 12 hours. Okay, 12 hours from Kansas City. You leave at 5 in the morning, get there. Same time I do. 5 o'clock. No, you get there before I do. At the Independence Liberty Westport room on the first floor of the Kansas City Airport Marriott in Kansas City, Missouri. Don't be showing up in Kansas City, Kansas. It's in Kansas City, Missouri. It's across the river. It's the same city, kind of. Not really. Not really the same city, but do it. Just think how exciting that would be. I've seen people do it. I know it can be done. And so I know you can do it too. There's plenty of hotels in the city. Or go over to Kansas City, Kansas, and find a hotel. Find a hotel in a different state across the river. You can do it. Or bring a tent or car camp. I've slept in my car before. Good times were had by all. Okay, this is Martin Zender. You're at MZTV. And for some reason, I needed to watch Godzilla Wrecking Tokyo before this show. I really have to get inspired here. It's a depressing weekend. I don't know why. It's just, the depression comes, it's a steady thing, but sometimes it's kind of panic inducing because you like run out of tricks to get out of it. And I don't know why I'm telling you this, except that I know that everybody out there is going through something. It's the nature of the eon. And for some reason, I saw Godzilla just, I was watching the 1959 version or something, the 1963 version, which is pretty comedic. There was a version in 1963, I think it was, where Godzilla and King Kong go at it. Really funny, actually. Really funny. Godzilla thinks he's got Kong because Godzilla has an advantage. He can breathe fire, so he breathes fire. And Kong looks down like, did he get me? Am I singed? He kind of wipes his shoulders a little bit. No, I'm good. And he comes after him again. And Godzilla undercuts him with his tail. Kong goes down, hits his head on a rock. Ooh, that knocked him out a little bit. So Godzilla tries to bury him with his tail, with rocks. But did you know this? Electricity makes Kong stronger. And there's some Japanese gentlemen in a helicopter above Tokyo. They said, electrical storm ahead, sir. Electrical storm ahead. Watch now. Electricity makes Kong stronger. And Kong gets struck by lightning. I guess it's harbinger of the tribulation. I just want things to change. I just want things to change. It's the killing routine, you know. Just you want the kingdom to come, but the kingdom can't come until the tribulation. And tribulation can't come until we're snatched away. So Paul says we'll be having ease at the very time when Jesus Christ is in fire dealing out vengeance. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In fire dealing out vengeance to those who are not acquainted with the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not eternal torment. It's just judgment to wake people up. People are going to get woke up. They never thought about God before. People have said, where's God? Where's God? And they're going to wish they never asked. So on Friday, I got great comments. Thank you for your comments. I appreciate that. On Friday, we talked about why Acts chapter 2 is not a template. It's not a recipe for how to bring in the kingdom. I mean, as it was presented back in that day, I can see why people were looking for the kingdom to begin. I mean, the Messiah was actually on the earth. Remember, nobody knew about this secret administration. So it would have been devastating, devastating to the apostles when they realized that the kingdom was right there in their hands, and it slipped away because the nation Israel did not repent. It's not that they didn't try. And they got, 3,000, 5,000 on the day of Pentecost, and they told everybody, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and they're looking for the seasons of refreshing, and they thought days away. Think how excited these men were. This is why they asked our Lord before he ascended into heaven, are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel? Another great question. Reasonable question. Practical question. Jesus says, not yours to know the times and the seasons. He couldn't have told them the truth. That you're all going to fail and you're all going to die miserable, painful deaths. You'll probably be depressed most of the time. Oh, thanks, Jesus. Appreciate it. We're good to go then? Yeah, go on. But I'm going to bring the Holy Spirit upon you. Also, we're not going to die miserable deaths. Oh, no, you're still going to die miserable deaths. Don't worry. But you're going to be repaid big time. And I'm telling you, anyone who dies for the cause, to me, it's a double bonus. Number one, you leave this earth. Die. Get it? Die for the cause. And there's a better resurrection, according to Hebrews. Those who die for the faith. How do you die for the faith today? I don't know. What do you have to do to get? No, I don't want to get crucified or stoned or anything. Well, if I had the choice, I would choose stoning. But what do you have to do, really? But I'm telling you, the slow death is the worst. Getting beheaded would be fabulous. Because it's over. Lights out. That's the way our apostle died. It's the slow death of being worn down and ground down. I just had a thought. Is that not also martyrdom for the cause? We're hanging in there. I know some of you are just barely hanging on. And it's the slow, agonizing disappointments of life that just wring the motivation out of you, the desire out of you. All your hopes and dreams have been shattered over the years, just again and again and again and again. And you look up to heaven and you say, Lord, how much more do you think we can take? Is this not martyrdom? I mean, speaking of myself, I will tell you this. Being self-employed is devastating. It's devastating. It takes a horrific toll over the years of not punching a clock, not working with other people, not pulling together with a team around you. And when I think back, or even when I look at other people going to work, I mean, it seems like a dream, like work at home, be your own boss. It's not. It is not. It's a freaking, it eventually ends up being a nightmare. It really does. So that alone is a sacrifice. You say, Martin, when are you going to start the show? Are you just going to like bitch and talk about Godzilla and about depression and about martyrdom? When are you going to actually teach us something? That's a great question. I'm warming up. Okay, it's the beginning of the week. It's kind of a rough weekend. Give me a little bit of slack here. Okay, here we go. No, yeah, I already did start. Kind of. So, the apostles were extremely disappointed. And Paul is the one who God gave to explain. And he does this in Hebrews to explain why the kingdom has been postponed until a date in the future. And I told you on Friday why the events of Acts chapter 2 will not be repeated. And those in the religious world today, specifically Christianity, who are trying to look at the formula of Acts chapter 2, this is what they did. So maybe if this is what we do, we all speak in tongues, we have everything in common, we join a commune, we repent and get baptized, we try to heal people. If we do all this, then what? Didn't you see how it worked out for those people back there? It did not produce the kingdom. But the argument might go, but it was designed to. Well, okay, if you want to look at things relatively, let's do that. Yes, the kingdom would have come had the nation Israel repented. The nation Israel did not repent. The kingdom did not come. So this is not a formula for success, ladies and gentlemen. The Acts 2 model is not a formula for success. It's going to be completely different. There's one similarity I can think of, and that is when the tongues of fire appeared over the heads of the disciples in the upper room, the Holy Spirit coming upon them, causing them to remember everything Jesus said and did, and to put it in context to understand it. That is going to happen to the entire nation. That was just a microcosm in that little upper room of what's going to happen to the entire nation of Israel, the members of which have been scattered to the four corners of the earth, members of which have completely lost their national identity, but they have an inclination for the kingdom, an inclination for the law. I've taught you this many times, that the house of Israel has been scattered among all the nations of the earth, but birds of a feather do flock together, and the Holy Spirit is going to come upon these people, and in a day, a nation's going to be reborn. This is the new birth. Nobody's been born again yet. Born again has to do with the nation Israel. It's going to happen in a day. Read Isaiah 66. Shall a nation be born in one day? Yes, this is what Jesus mocked Nicodemus for not knowing, that the nation was going to be born in a day. That is the model of the future that has never been tried before, because it's not a matter of trying. It's a supernatural event. Just like the upper room was of the Holy Spirit coming. It is supernatural. It happens in a day. There's none of this repent and be baptized. None of this, oh, we got 1,000 coming in today. 1,000 signed in day before. 2,000 signed in the day before. We're building the kingdom. No, it's going to be in a day. The kingdom of Israel will be reborn. The nation of Israel will be reborn. And these people will be supernaturally endowed with spirit. And they will understand their calling finally, and there will be many of them. Well, they're all going to have to go through the tribulation. Some of them will be martyred. Some of them will not. Some of them will be part of the 144,000. They will be untouched. And the vast throng also joins the 144,000. I don't know if they're guaranteed immunity from the bowls, the wrath, the thunder, and the lightning of the tribulation. But it's not going to be a great time on earth. I mean, watch Godzilla and King Kong going at it, and you have a bit of a indication of how it's going to be on the earth at that time. The reason the Acts chapter 2 pattern didn't work is because God didn't want it to work. You might say, well, it must have been a viable technique. Christ sending his spirit on those few people in the upper room and then have them preach to everybody else. But it wasn't meant to bring the kingdom. It was meant to fail. Go, disciple all the nations, Jesus told his disciples. Be going then, discipling all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But they never did that one time. They never did it. They understood that was a future event. That was going to happen during the kingdom. So let's look at this. There is a pattern, but it's just on a much larger scale. So you might even be able to say, God does repeat the pattern of Acts chapter 2, but it's on a monumentally larger scale. The Holy Spirit comes on the entire nation Israel instead of 12 people in an upper room. These people then go through the tribulation. They come through the kingdom. They come through the tribulation into the inauguration of the kingdom. Christ returns. And now Israel is prepared. The apostles themselves, the disciples, raised from the dead along with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all the worthies of Israel, Daniel, all the prophets, they come back from the dead, and now they will baptize all the nations. And I guarantee you, follow them around, don't doubt me on this, because it's not me, it's you'd be doubting Christ. They will be baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Martin, isn't that the Trinity? No, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have to inject Christian tradition in there to find a Trinity. That is, you see, the Father is a separate being. Christ is a separate being. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. It's not a separate being. Nowhere in that Matthew 28 context where they will be baptizing in with that formula, nowhere does it say anything about, and these three are one. It's just not the case. Sorry. So Israel, those who have been born again while alive, those who have been touched by the Spirit, see, it's going to be kind of like our snatching away. We will have already been snatched away. Body of Christ gone up into heaven. And now it's Israel's turn. And the Spirit's going to come on them just like it came on us during the snatching away. But they're going to remain on the earth because earth is their realm of ministry. And they're going to be suddenly wise. They're going to suddenly realize all the crap they've been believing heretofore. They're going to see it for what it is, which is crap. And now they are going to be prepared to go to all the nations. So instead of 12 people in Acts chapter 2 trying to get as many Jews in Jerusalem, one city, to accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah and hoping but failing to bring the leadership, the very people who crucified Christ, in line with the program. Instead of that, no, that failed. That's never going to be repeated again. But I can see how you could say now, and I'm certain it's the same type of thing, only, you know, your French poodle Fifi versus Godzilla. Now Godzilla is that the entire nation gets zapped. And Israel as a nation kind of, according to the Acts 2 pattern, kind of runs out of the upper room, except now running out of the upper room becomes going into all the nations on the earth. instead of repenting and be baptized. Well, yeah, I guess there's still going to be repentance and baptism. Only, again, it's not going to be the 12 trying to reform, trying to educate their own nation. It's going to be the nation educating the world. Let me say that again. That's important. It's not going to be 12 people running out of the upper room trying to convert their nation. It's going to be the nation running into all the nations to convert the world to the new religion, the new world religion, which is Judaism, which will go forth from Jerusalem. It's a real kingdom, a political kingdom. It's not metaphorical. It's not mystical. It's not, I was going to say, it's not spiritual. It's spiritual as hell. But spiritual is not the opposite of physical. It's physical and spiritual. Physical things can be spiritual, and they are, and they will be. The implements of the temple were called spiritual. They were physical things. They had forks and knives and fire pans, all the good stuff they used for the sacrifices. The clothing they wore was spiritual. It's a spiritual kingdom headquartered in Jerusalem. So the thing that's going to bring about the actual kingdom is sort of kind of based on Acts 2, but it's not Acts 2. And the comedic slash tragic thing is that, as I said Friday, Christians today are trying to reproduce what they did in Acts 2. It's just playing with Tinker Toys. It's playing with your little French poodle Fifi when Godzilla is coming. And it's going to be miraculous. You want to be Israelites? Let me give you this clue before I check out for today. It's going to be a miraculous infilling of the Spirit. It's not going to be you're building your little churches. It's not going to be you're trying to take the gospel message to all the world. You don't even know what the gospel is. Your gospel is turn and burn. It's not even the gospel. You haven't even started to do what you think you're doing, which is saving the world. We're going to reach every nation by the year 2030 or whatever you think you're going to do with your fake gospel. Is that even a real gospel? Turn or burn. Believe in Jesus or die for no. Believe in Jesus or be tortured forever. That's your gospel. You got to be kidding me. No, when Jesus comes back, it's going to be worship the King. The King is here. And he's actually going to be there. None of this, I walk with him and I talk with him. No, Jesus is actually going to be on the earth. And some of the Christians who are looking over your shoulder, folks, those of you in my audience, there might be some Christians looking in here. Okay, if you don't get Paul's message, you're going to go through the tribulation. And you're going to be, maybe you're of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Maybe you're part of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Maybe way back you're an Israelite. Okay, you're going to be zapped by the Spirit and you're going to realize that everything you believed was wrong. The system was wrong. The church was wrong. Your belief in eternal torment was wrong. Free will, the Trinity was all wrong. You're going to be starting from freaking scratch. And you're going to look back on what you thought was necessary to bring in the kingdom. Establishing churches and getting worship songs and building fancy worship centers and all these things you thought. Building baptismal tanks in your churches. You are going to roll your eyes at yourself. You are going to just pray to God that he forgets what you have been doing and that you actually thought that having a baptism tank in your church is the Great Commission. Oh my God, it's going to be so embarrassing for you. So freaking embarrassing. I'm sorry. I'll try not to laugh from the celestial realms. I'm definitely not going to laugh because it's going to be tragic. It's going to be so tragic. And you yourself will say about all these weak things you've been doing, what Paul said about his days in Judaism, these things which I considered gain at one time, I now consider to be loss, garbage, refuse. It's all garbage. You're going to look at your efforts, your little puny efforts, as garbage. What are you supposed to be doing? Well, you're supposed to be waiting, and you're supposed to be learning about the truth. You're supposed to be, you know, foregoing your traditions and seeking the Word of God, the true Word of God, and waiting on the Lord and not trying to build a stick and stone kingdom, waiting on the new covenant. You're just mixing the kingdom gospel with parts of Paul, and you've made a mess. You've made a sickening, distasteful soup out of mixing the gospels, and you've created a cursed, bastardized gospel. And I put gospel in quotation marks there because it's not a real gospel at all. And God's going to spit it out of his mouth. See, so when the Lord does come, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, if you're part of the chosen nation of Israel, you're starting from scratch. So if I were you, I would start from scratch now. I would start from scratch now. I would rip Paul out of your Bibles because Paul's confusing the hell out of you because you're talking about grace on one hand and condemnation on the other hand. You see, please, all you want to be Israelites, tear the 13 letters of Paul out of your Bible. Forget about it. Stick with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Repent of your sins. Yeah, you better do that. And just read the book of Hebrews. Don't tear Hebrews. My God, Hebrews is your blueprint. Hebrews is your blueprint. Paul wrote it, but he didn't put his name to it because the Jews hated him. If he had put his name to Hebrews, they never would have read it. But it's so important because it's the blueprint for you people right now. You want to be Israelites. We're going to go through the tribulation. And some of you will be martyred. Some of you may be part of the vast throng, and you'll be sealed, and you get through the tribulation. But Hebrews is your blueprint. It explains how the eons have been adjusted to a declaration of God. It explains how the heroes of faith died having not received the promises. Okay. But let me tell you a secret right now. It's not too late. Consider me the ghost of Christmas future. You can embrace Paul's gospel. In which case, I'm not telling you to tear out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John out of your Bibles. It's all very good for us to learn. But now the 13 letters of Paul become, if you want to be in the body of Christ and avoid the tribulation, now the 13 letters of Paul are the most important things you can read. And the most important thing you can do right now, I'm talking to those who think they're Israelites, they want to be Israelites, they're in the Christian world, they have this feeling that they're building a little tinker toy kingdom. And you want to know what you can do now? The best thing you can do is go to martinzander.com and order The First Idiot in Heaven, okay? We always run a sale on that book. If I could give everybody a copy, I would. Get a book I wrote called The First Idiot in Heaven. It will explain to you the gospel of Paul. It will contrast it with the gospel to Israel. And it will tell you how to avoid the tribulation. Would you like to avoid the tribulation? Sure you would. Well, you do it by believing in the death of Christ for your sins. Free will's out the door. The Trinity's out the door. Believe that he was dead for 3 days, did not exist, and was roused by God, woke up, God woke him up, and he lives again. And he called the Apostle Paul, and he's done away with ceremonies, away with baptism, away with circumcision, away with works, completely away with works, and now it's all grace, baby. You're no different than Adolf Hitler. It's just the grace of God. Ooh, boy, when that hits you, I'm telling you, it's a new world. It's a whole new world. I'm not out here trying to sell a book. I'm out here to get you out of the frickin' tribulation. I'm trying. I'm really trying.